This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I welcome our dear brothers and sisters in al-Islam. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. We continue bi'iznillahi ta'ala our series entitled Our Story. A chronological overview of the Muslim Ummah. Why, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah? Because everyone has a story, and this is our story, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, bi'iznillahi ta'ala, in this majlis, this halaqa, this episode, we will be discussing the period between the third year after the hijrah to the fifth year after the hijrah, bi'iznillahi ta'ala. More especially, the Shawwal of the third year, that's when the Battle of Uhud took place. And we've already discussed that in our previous majlis. And so we are going to discuss the events between Uhud and Khandaq. Khandaq, the battle of the trench, the battle of the clans, the confederates, when the various tribes got together to annihilate al-Islam in Medina al-Munawwara, that takes place in Shawwal, the fifth year after the hijrah. So our discussion, bi'iznillahi ta'ala, centers around Shawwal, the third year after the hijrah, to Shawwal, the fifth year after the hijrah. Shawwal, the third year, Battle of Uhud, we've already discussed. So we will discuss the events in between that, up to Khandaq, which will take place in the fifth year after the hijrah, insha'Allah. And we will discuss that bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, maybe in our next episode, insha'Allah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, the major events that we will discuss in this majlis, we will talk about the massacre of Ar-Raji', Allahu Musta'an, the massacre of Bi'r Ma'una, these two major massacres. So many of the Sahaba were slaughtered, Allahu Musta'an. We'll talk about the expulsion of Banu Nadir, and this is very closely tied with the massacre of Bi'r Ma'una. We'll also talk about the expedition of Dhat al-Riqa', and lastly, the expedition to Banu Mustaliq. Banu Mustaliq was the tribe, and it was in the area of Al-Muraysi', and subhanAllah, we will see, we will learn that many of the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, they joined in this expedition. And subhanAllah, that's why we had that great incident, great calamity in the life of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but there was also great wisdom in it, subhanAllah. What incident? The incident related to our mother, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, when they slandered her, and when they said that she has committed zina, she's fallen into adultery. Allahu musta'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down Surah An-Nur and exonerated her of that accusation. So we will discuss these matters bi'iznillahi ta'ala. We begin. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The events between Uhud, 3 after Hijrah, to Khandaq or Ahzab, 5 after Hijrah. Some of the events which occurred, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, towards the end of the third year after the Hijrah, he makes nikah, not make nikah, in reality Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala married Zainab bint Jahsh to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was no nikah, there was no contract like we perform when we want to get married, like the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had done with his other wives. For Zainab bint Jahsh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the noble Quran married her to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, walhamdulillah. Her age plus minus around 40, some historians state her late 30s plus minus 40, walhamdulillah. We know, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, that this marriage is one of those marriages that the Orientalists, that the critics of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they love to pick on this marriage. Two marriages they always pick on. Number one, the marriage to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and there because of her age, and the marriage of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Zainab bint Jahsh. Why? They said, well, because she's his cousin? No, not because of that. Then why? Because technically, she was married to Zayd ibn Haritha. Zayd ibn Haritha, who technically was like the stepson of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which would make Zainab bin Jahsh like the daughter-in-law of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Remember, when Zayd ibn Haritha, when his father and uncle heard about him in Makkah al-Mukarramah, they wanted to take him back. But our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I have no issue with that. Let him choose what he wants. And Zayd ibn Haritha, the former slave, now set free, and the one who chose to be with the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says that I choose to remain with him. Oh my father, I prefer to stay with him. Let me stay here with him, subhanAllah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to the haram and announced, from today, Zayd is my son. Zayd would be regarded as my son. And so people would call him Zayd ibn Muhammad. Some sahaba said, until Allah revealed in the noble Quran that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is not the father of any one of you, before that verse, we really, really thought that Zayd ibn Haritha was the son of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, subhanallah. And so, ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, in the society, amongst people, the Orientalists, etc., they use this as ammo. They said, look, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam here, his stepson divorces Zainab, and then the supposed father-in-law, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, by virtue of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's revelation, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is now married to Zainab. Allahumma musta'an. And so this is one of those marriages that they make an issue with, subhanallah. And ajib, that these are the two marriages of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained. Allah ordained these two, and these are the two that these criminals pick on. Allahumma musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, we know that Zayd and Zainab, that marriage was on the rocks. Zayd was a former slave, and Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was from the upper society, and they never really gelled, and eventually this marriage collapsed. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala married Zainab to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also great wisdom in this here, that this matter of looking after the son of another, this is not like your own son. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not the father of any of the men out there. He doesn't have any son who has survived. His sons, Abdullah, Qasim, and Ibrahim, they all passed away in infancy. Allahumma musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. So there was the marriage of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Zainab bint Jahsh. Also towards the end of the third year after the hijrah, we find that alcohol was finally made haram, finally prohibited. There were stages that this prohibition went through. Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Baqarah, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِن نَفْعِهِمَا. They ask you about alcohol and gambling. Say that in it is a sin, and there's also some good in it, but the sin outweighs the good. And so the person who's intelligent will obviously stay away from it. But it's not haram. It's not haram. All of the years of Makkah, 13 years, you wanted to consume alcohol, you were allowed to do so. Subhanallah. And only towards the end of the third year after the hijrah, now it was finally made haram, haram and haram. What was the second stage of prohibition? We find that some of the sahaba, some narrations state that Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, and others, they were drinking at night, and one began to perform the salah. Ali radiallahu ta'ala an led them in salah. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ أَعْبُدُوا قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ وَنَحْنُ نَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ. And we worship what you people worship. We know, subhanAllah, Surah Kafirun, that if somebody is not drunk, at times one can make mistakes in it. So how much more if one was drunk? and so they recited it incorrectly. Allah sent down the revelation. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, la taqrabu salata wa antum sukara, don't come close to the prayer, wa antum sukara, when you are intoxicated, hatta ta'lamu ma taqulun, until you know what you are saying. So at the time of salah, you are not allowed to be drunk. You can drink midnight, etc. But ensure at the time of salah, you are sober. Walhamdulillah. So this was the second level of prohibition. And then finally, in the third year after the Hijrah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the revelation, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, innama al-khamru wal-maysiru wal-ansabu wal-azlam rijs min amal ash-shaytan. That all of these matters here, they are rijs, they are filthy, and they are from the works of the devil. And fajtanibu, and so stay away from it. Complete prohibition now, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, some have stated that the final verse of prohibition was revealed around the time that the Sahaba had laid siege to Banu Nadir, as we will discuss inshaAllah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we now move on to the fourth year after the Hijrah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And subhanAllah, this brings us to the massacre of Ar-Raji'. The massacre of Ar-Raji'. Raji' is this watering hole. It's this oasis. And so it's that place here. This took place in the month of Safar, it seems. The month of Safar, in the year 4 after Hijrah. Prelude. What was this all about? We found that 6 companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam were ambushed. 4 of them were killed. 2 were taken prisoner, and those 2 prisoners were eventually executed. Allahu musta'an. All 6 of them were killed, were executed. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sends Abdullah ibn Unais on a mission. What is this mission? A preemptive strike. Against who? Against one of the tribal leaders of the tribe of Hudayl, Khalid ibn Sufyan. This Khalid ibn Sufyan was planning an attack on Medina al-Munawwara. So the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends Abdullah ibn Unais to preempt the attack. Remove that leader, and so we will prevent that attack. What's his description, Ya Rasulullah? How will I know who he is? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that when you see him, you will be reminded of shaitan. He will look to you as shaitan, subhanallah. And he will remind you of the devil. And so Abdullah ibn Unais eventually makes his way. He gets to the tribe of Hudayl, and mission accomplished. He kills Khalid ibn Sufyan, walhamdulillah. And when he had come back, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given him a staff, given him this stick. And he held it very close to him. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it will be like a sign between you and me on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And this companion was buried with that staff. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. Soon after the following month, we find that 6 companions of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were on their way to the tribes of Udal and Qara. And they were going there to teach these people, to be teachers to these people, to do da'wah. And then they were ambushed by the tribe of Hudayl. Allahu musta'an. And it is also said that Hudayl had come to the tribes of Udal and Qara and told them that we want you people to go and request teachers. And once you have these teachers, then we will ambush them and we will kill them as revenge for our leader, Khalid ibn Sufyan al-Hudali. And so the enemy were plus minus 100. These 6 Sahaba were obviously outnumbered. And 3 of them fought and they were killed. Then we had the other 3 who eventually, after they were given aman, they were given safety, they were given assurances to surrender, they surrendered. And once they surrendered, they realized that these people were treacherous, and one of them fought and he was killed, and then the other 2 were taken prisoner. Who was taken prisoner? We find that Zayd was taken prisoner, and a companion by the name of Zayd, and another companion by the name of Khubayb ibn Adi. These 2 were taken prisoner, and they were sold to the Quraysh. Allahu musta'an, in Makkah al-Mukarramah. They were sold to the Quraysh, who will eventually torture them and execute them. Allah musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, we find that this companion Zayd, when he was taken out for execution, Abu Sufyan said to him, wouldn't you prefer that Muhammad was in your place and you were now in your house, in your home with your family? How did he respond? He said, I would rather be tortured. I would rather die myself. I would rather die than even a thorn pricking Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I wouldn't want him to be in my place. I would rather die than even a thorn pricking the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then we find that Safwan ibn Umayyah, whose father Umayyah ibn Khalaf was killed in the battle of Badr. So this Safwan ibn Umayyah, he's the one who purchased this Zayd and eventually executed him. Eventually they tortured them and they executed them. Where did they do this? Outside of the Haram. He said, no, the Haram is sacred, sanctified. And so they had taken this Zayd and Khubayb to Tan'im, where today you find Masjid Aisha. That area is a miqat. And so there they were executed. Khubayb ibn Adi, before execution, he asked them, I want to perform 2 rakahs of salah. And they allowed him that. And after he had prayed, he said to them, just because I didn't want you people to think that I am afraid to die, that's why I hastened in my prayer. Otherwise, usually my prayer is longer, subhanAllah. He was tortured and eventually he was killed. Before that, they tried to force him to leave Islam, but he refused, walhamdulillah, and eventually they executed him, Allah musta'an. As for some of the other sahaba who were there, Marthad ibn Abi Marthad. Marthad ibn Abi Marthad was that famous companion who we mentioned when the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ali and Mirthad ibn Abi Mirthad, they were sharing one animal during the Badr expedition. During that journey to Badr, before the Battle of Badr, all three of them were sharing one animal, subhanAllah. Ali, Mirthad ibn Abi Mirthad, and the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam were sharing one animal. They were taking turns. They said to him, ya Rasulullah, it's fine, you use the animal. Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, we will all share, subhanallah. Well, here Mirthad ibn Abi Mirthad was sent as a teacher and he was ambushed and he was killed, Allahu musta'an. There was also Khalid ibn Bukair. There was Asim ibn Thabit. And Asim ibn Thabit, after he was killed, they wanted to cut off his head. Why? Because there was a woman in Mecca by the name of Sulafa, and she had vowed, because she had lost two of her sons in the Battle of Uhud, she had vowed that she will drink wine from the skull of Asim ibn Thabit, who had killed her two sons in the battle of Uhud. And so they wanted to cut off his head, but they were unable. Unable, why? A miracle, subhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent these swarms of wasps and bees, and this prevented them from cutting off the head of Asim ibn Thabit, radiyallahu ta'ala an. There was also another companion, Abdullah ibn Tariq, and so those four, they were killed at Ar-Raji', and then the other two were taken to Mecca, sold there, and then executed outside of the Haram boundaries. They were executed in Tan'im, Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, extremely important to note that this is only but a few months after the battle of Uhud, where the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam plus minus 70 of his companions were killed. That was in the month of Shawwal, and now we're dealing with the following year in the month of Safar, Muharram Safar. So we had Shawwal, after Shawwal we have Dhul-Qa'dah, and then Dhul-Hijjah, and then we have Muharram and Safar, Allahu Musta'an. And in the same month of Safar, we had another calamity, another disaster. What disaster was that? The greater massacre of Bi'r Ma'una. Bi'r meaning the well, Ma'una, this is that area, also occurred in the month of Safar. In fact, it is said that the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam received the news of the 6 who were killed at Ar-Raji' and the plus minus 70, some narrations mention 40, some narrations mention 70 who were killed at Bi'r Ma'una. our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the news on the same day. Allahu musta'an. 70 at Uhud. Few months later, 6 at Ar-Raji'. And then here, if we go with the maximum number, another 70, subhanallah, at Bi'r Ma'una. That's 146, subhanallah. 146 of the cream of the crop, of the teachers, of the ulama, of the zuhad, of the ubad, of the qari, of the noble Qur'an, the qurra of the noble Qur'an. Allahu musta'an. What happened? What was this Bi'r Ma'una all about? We find that it was a greater massacre, the greatest massacre that occurred in the seerah. Allahu musta'an. A tribal leader, Abu al-Bara Amir ibn Malik, he was a tribal leader from the tribe of Zainab bint Khuzaymah. Zainab bint Khuzaymah, one of the wives of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so this tribal leader from northern Arabia, he had come to Medina al-Munawwara. He was impressed with Islam. He didn't embrace Islam, but he was impressed. And he offered the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, send some people to teach Islam in our region, our area, and so they can spread the message. And so the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, obviously looking for opportunities to spread the message, and he sends plus minus 70, other narrations 40, of the Qurra, of the readers, of the those who are knowledgeable of the noble Qur'an, many of them Ashabu Sufa, etc. He sends them with this man here. And on the way, the tribes of Ri'il, Zakwan, Usayya, they ambush them. We find that this man, this Abu al-Bara Amir ibn Malik, he had an issue with his nephew by the name of Amir ibn al-Tufail. And so this Amir ibn al-Tufail got those tribes, Ri'il, Zakwan, Usayya, etc. together, and they ambushed these 40 or 70 of the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there were only two who survived. There was a companion by the name of Ka'b, and there was another companion by the name of Amr ibn Umayyah. He was gone somewhere, and then when he returns, he sees all of this. They captured him, but eventually he was released. Allahu musta'an. There was another companion by the name of Ka'b. He acted dead amongst the bodies, and so thus he was saved. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. Imagine the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam receiving this news. You are the Nabi of Allah. You are the Rasul of Allah. You are Rahmah lil Alameen. And in a span of like 3 to 4 months, plus minus 146 of your cream of the crop Sahaba have been massacred. In treacherous events, not just battle. At least in Uhud, we fought a battle with the enemy. Whereas in Ar-Raji' and whereas in the massacre of Bi'r Ma'una, this was treachery. This was Allahu musta'an, Allahu musta'an. Amr ibn Umayyah, the one who was not killed, on his way back to Medina al-Munawwara, he sees two people from the tribe of Abu al-Bara Amir ibn Malik who requested them. So he's thinking, well, obviously, this man who requested that, this was a setup. And so he sees two people from that same tribe, and so he kills them. He said, this is part of the revenge, what they did to my companions, and so this is revenge. But subhanAllah, the tribe of Abu al-Bara Amir ibn Malik, they had nothing to do with this. It was this nephew and the other tribes who put together this ambush. These two individuals were innocent. They had protection from the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in fact. And so subhanAllah, after receiving this disastrous new news, the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam also has another issue to deal with. What is that? He needs to sort out the blood money for those two innocent men. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. Our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he prayed qunut. Qunut in Salatul Fajr for 1 month, making dua against the tribes of Ri'il, Zakwan, Banu Usayya, Banu Lihyan. For 1 month in Salatul Fajr, lifting up his hands and making dua against these people. Those responsible for this treachery. Allahu musta'an. This was a great calamity. As we said, they were ubad. From amongst them at Bi'r Ma'una was Amir ibn Fuhayra. the freed slave of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, the one who assisted them during the hijrah when they were in the cave, this Amir ibn Fuhayra, he would come with the animals and cover up the footprints, etc. Allahu musta'an. He was killed during this period here. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. This then leads on to the expulsion of Banu Nazir. Banu Nazir was the second of the three Jewish tribes in Medina al-Munawwara. Remember, after the battle of Badr, Banu Qaynuqa, they were expelled from Medina al-Munawwara. Why? Because they said, oh Muhammad, I mean, you fought with these people from Mecca, you haven't really seen true men. If you fight us, then you will see. And they also made a mockery of that Muslim woman, held up her dress and all of that. And so eventually they had broken the treaty with the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims, and thus they were expelled. Well, now Banu Nazir is the second tribe to get the same punishment, as we will see. What happened? The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he goes to the tribe of Banu Nazir, because we are obviously We obviously in an alliance with you, Banu Nazir, and now we need to pay the blood money. You people need to assist us in the payment of the blood money, plus minus 200 camels we need to sort out, etc. And so you people need to assist us. We are partners in this matter. And so the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rabi al-Awwal, after this massacre at Bi'r Ma'una, he goes to Banu Nazir. And he meets with the leader, and that is Huyay ibn Akhtab. Huyay ibn Akhtab, the father of Safiyyah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam later on will marry Safiyyah. This is her father, Huyay ibn Akhtab. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam says to him that this is the story. And these people, they lived in the south of Medina, Al-Munawwara. But subhanallah, after the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions the reason for his visit, they welcome him and they all sit down, and then they say, you know, we're just going to have a small discussion, or they go to prepare some food or something. And then they discuss amongst themselves, what an opportunity we have. The man is here. All we need to do is somebody go on top there, maybe throw a rock on top of him from one of the buildings. And so we finish him off. We finish him off. We don't have any issues, any worries. Everything comes to an end, and everything goes back to how it was before Muhammad. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. There was absolutely no need, no reason. There was no issue at hand for them to do any of this. But subhanAllah, the hatred they had for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is informed by Jibreel. And so immediately he stands up and he leaves. The other Sahaba are still seated there. They wait. And eventually they then leave. They thought he's coming back, but he doesn't come back. They meet up with him. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sends Muhammad ibn Maslama to go back to them and announce to them that the treaty is broken between us and them. And the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows exactly what they were plotting and planning. And they have 10 days to leave Medina al-Munawwara. Otherwise, heads will roll. And so he goes and he announces. And at first it seems that they were ready to be expelled. They were caught out. Their plot was made public. And so, but then, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, the head of the Munafiqeen, he comes to them. The two-faced man, he comes to them. No. You people shouldn't go anywhere. You remain here. I will support you people. I will help you. And we'll get the tribe of Ghatafan also. I'll have 2,000 men ready to assist you people. Don't go anywhere. And also, maybe Banu Nazir felt that the position of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the very moment now, it was very weak. Why? He lost in the battle of Uhud. Then there was the massacre of Ar-Raji', and then there was also the massacre of Bi'r Ma'una. And so he's lost so many men, and people are attacking left, right and center. The Muslims are free for anyone to attack. So they felt that, you know what? We are in a strong position. And so then they refused to leave. They barricaded themselves in their forts and they said, we're not going anywhere. What was this? This technically was a declaration of war now. Allahu musta'an. Very quickly, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam orders a siege upon their forts. And the Sahaba had come and laid siege to them. And it was only after 6 nights, only after 6 days, 6 nights, then eventually they surrendered. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam had some of the date palm trees burnt or cut down, and when they saw that, that was the final straw, and then they surrendered. What were the conditions? That they need to leave with their property they can take, their wealth they can take, but they're not allowed to take any of their arms and ammunition. And so that was left behind. And what did these people do? They destroyed their own homes because they didn't want the Muslims to live in those homes or benefit from that. And so they destroyed their own homes. Allahu musta'an. And many of them went to Khaybar. They settled in Khaybar. Very, very, very important that this tribe of Banu Nadir, and especially the head of it, Huyay ibn Akhtab, they will play a role in the battle of Khandaq, the battle of Ahzab. They will be part and parcel of those who instigate the Quraysh and say to the Quraysh, you need to go and finish off Muhammad, etc., etc. Allah musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, they eventually left, walhamdulillah. And Suratul Hashr deals with this matter. Suratul Hashr deals with the expulsion of Banu Nadir, the second Jewish tribe from Medina al-Munawwara. And one can say that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was very merciful to them. He was very, very merciful to them. They plotted to kill him, and he allowed them to take their wealth and leave, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, from amongst them, you had two Jews who also became Muslim and joined the Muslims, mashaAllah. We find that Abdullah ibn Abbas, he says that Suratul Hashr is also called Surah Banu Nadir, the Surah of Banu Nadir, because it deals with their matters. And it is also said that the verse of the Quran, La ikraha fi din, was revealed during this time. La ikraha fi din, there's no compulsion in religion. What's the story? The story goes that you had some people in Medina al-Munawwara, pre-Islam, that the woman would have miscarriages. And so they had the superstition that to avoid having a miscarriage, you should like take a vow that your kid, you will grow this kid up as a Jew, because they found that the Jewish women were not having miscarriages. And so my kid will be brought up as a Jew, will live with the Jews. And so many of them took these vows, and there were some of these kids that then eventually were given to Banu Nadir, and they grew up with the Banu Nadir tribe, and so technically they were like Jews. And now when Banu Nadir was being expelled from Medina al-Munawwara, those men, those youngsters, they were all leaving with Banu Nadir. And so the Arab biological mothers were like, no, you know, these people, they are our sons, they should remain behind, change their religion, leave Judaism, become Muslim. And so subhanAllah, at that time, Allah sent down the revelation, La ikraha fi din. It is said that this is the sabab nuzul for this verse here, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. This indicates what? I mean, this technically was in favor of these people who were Jews. Don't force them to become Muslim. Don't force them to become Muslim. It's up to them. They want to leave and become Muslim and remain behind in Medina al-Munawwara. That's a choice they have. They want to remain Jewish and leave with Banu Nadir. They also have that choice. The choice. La ikraha fi din. There's no compulsion in the religion, subhanAllah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, remember well that, for example, Christianity was full of civil wars, the Protestants and the Catholics and war with one another. You had the 30-year war, you had the 80-year war, you had the French wars of religion. And so, subhanAllah, Europe needed secularism to remove them from these religious conflicts that they were too used to. And so they needed as an exit strategy from their religious conflicts, they needed secularism where the state has divorced the church. State is on one side and church is on the other. They needed that. We as Muslims never had that. This was not something that the Muslims were busy killing one another because of religious conflicts. And so we never experienced that. We never went through that. We don't need the separation between state and masjid. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah. So that was the massacre of Bi'r Ma'una and the expulsion of the tribe of Banu Nadir, walhamdulillah. Other events which also took place between the Shawwal 3 AH and Shawwal of 5 AH, we find that Abu Salama, cousin of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also foster brother of our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he passed away, subhanallah. He was injured in the battle of Uhud, and later on in one of the expeditions, this wound resurfaced, and subhanallah, he eventually passed away. He was sent to Banu Asad, and they faced off Tulayha al-Asadi, but there was not too much of fighting which occurred. Nonetheless, Abu Salama radiallahu ta'ala an, he eventually passed away, subhanallah. Abu Salama's wife is Salama. And this couple, they had migrated to Abyssinia. And then they migrated to Medina al-Munawwara. They went through tough times. When they had returned from Abyssinia, the tribe of Abu Salama took Salama, the son, away. And then Salama's family, they said she is not allowed to go. And it was only Abu Salama who then went to Medina al-Munawwara. Later on, the family was reunited, subhanallah. They really went through tough times, Allah musta'an. And so Abu Salama passed away. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was around him at the time of his passing away. Later on, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proposes to Salama, and Salama accepts, and they are married, walhamdulillah. Her age around the time of marriage was around 29 years of age. And her name, Hind bint Abi Umayyah. Hind bint Abi Umayyah. In fact, she said, Ya Rasulullah, you know, I'm a woman who's very jealous. I have many children. I'm old. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I'm older than you. As for children, your children are my children. As for your jealousy, I make dua to Allah that He decreases your jealousy. And they were married, alhamdulillah, and she was very, very intelligent, mashaAllah. And in fact, you find amongst the wives of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were like in two camps. The camp of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and the camp of Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, walhamdulillah. We also find between this period here, Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anha, he is born the year before. We find that Hassan was born, mashaAllah, and now Hussein is born. Zainab bint Khuzaima, the wife of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she had also passed away, and so Abu Salama passed away. Then Hussein was born, then Zainab bint Khuzaima passed away, and then after that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, there was also the expedition of that al-riqa'. That al-riqa'. That al-riqa' means the cloth pieces, cloth pieces. Because the Sahaba, they had ventured across some very, very difficult terrain, rocky terrain, and so they had covered their feet with cloth. And so because of that, it's called that al-riqa. Riqa meaning those pieces of cloth. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam readies the Sahaba against Ghatafan, the tribes of Muharib and Tha'laba. And so the Sahaba had gone out to face this tribe. There is some debate with regards to the date of that al-riqa, but it seems that it was before Khandaq. So it seems that it was in this period and this time period here. Some said no, it was after Khandaq, but the correct opinion seems that it was before Khandaq, walhamdulillah. And during this expedition, we find that Salatul Khawf was legislated, and on the way back, they had stopped somewhere, and Abbad ibn Bishr from the Ansar himself and Ammar ibn Yasir from the Muhajirin, they were keeping guard. They were keeping guard. And so Ammar went to sleep, and Abbad said, you know, I will keep guard here, and I will stand in Salah while keeping guard. And subhanallah, while he's in Salah, one of the enemy attacks, shoots him with an arrow. He continues his Salah. And then another arrow. And three times the story goes that he was shot with three arrows, subhanallah. Only then did he finish off his salah. Companions say, why didn't you scream, shout? Why didn't you ask me for assistance to help you? He says, I was in such and such a surah and I didn't want to cut it short. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Where are we from them, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah? Allahu musta'an.
He's got arrows in his body and he's still in salah. Arrows in his body and still reading Quran. And we are nice and comfortable when last we open up the mushaf. Allahu musta'an, Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. So this, that ar-riqa, there was not much fighting which took place. And as we mentioned, there was one incident on the return journey. Another incident, beautiful incident. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees Jabir ibn Abdullah on this camel, but the camel was slow. Who is Jabir ibn Abdullah? Remember the battle of Uhud. Jabir's father said to him, you don't go out. I will go. You look after your many sisters. You need to look after them. So Jabir ibn Abdullah remained in Medina al-Munawwara. And when the two tribes, they were also shaking. We don't think we should go out and fight. He made sure that he convinced them that they should go out and fight with the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he made sure that they didn't turn around like the munafiqeen turned around. The same Jabir ibn Abdullah here now, mashaAllah, he's now married, walhamdulillah. And so in conversation with the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why are you so slow? My camel is very slow. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got down, took like some sort of like stick and touched the animal once or twice. And then Jabir got back onto it and now it started moving very, very, very fast. It's running, mashaAllah. It's like from amongst the fastest of the camels. And so the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is riding alongside Jabir ibn Abdullah. And the conversation, you know, that are you married? And Jabir says, yes. And did you get married to a virgin or a non-virgin? He says, non-virgin. Why didn't you get married to a virgin? She can play with you, you can play with her. Ya Rasulullah, my father left me many young sisters and I don't want to add one more to the people that I need to look after. Rather, I need somebody to assist me in looking after my little sisters. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam acknowledged that was correct, walhamdulillah. And then the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Jabir, sell me your camel. Sell me your camel. Now that it's running very fast, sell me the camel. Jabir says, I give it to you, ya Rasulullah. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no, I will buy it. Sell it to me. What price? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, 1 dirham. And Jabir said, no. And then 2, Jabir says no. And then 3, until it reached about 40, subhanAllah, and the deal was settled on that. And then Jabir says, but allow me to ride it until Medina al-Munawwara, and then I will hand it over to you. Eventually, when they had reached, then the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the animal Jabir had brought it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructs the Sahabi to take the money to give to Jabir, and give him back his camel. That you take the money, the 40 dirhams, and you also keep the camel. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was just playing with him, subhanAllah. And so Jabir got his camel back, and he got the money back, walhamdulillah, mashaAllah, tabarakAllah. In some narrations, he even got more. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave more than even that 40, subhanAllah. Allahu musta'an. Look at the akhlaq of our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanAllah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. After this, then there was also the appointment that the Muslims had made with Abu Sufyan. What appointment? After the battle of Uhud, Abu Sufyan screamed out that we will meet next year, the same time at Badr. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims, they acknowledged and they agreed, we will meet next year at Badr for a second battle, for another battle. And so the Muslims went out, plus minus 1,500 of them. In the month of Shaban, the year 4 after Hijrah, as promised, they went out and they were there. But the Quraysh didn't come. The Quraysh didn't pitch up. They felt that it wasn't conducive, not the right time. They had gone through a drought, etc. And so the Quraysh didn't pitch, subhanAllah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, we now see that the Muslims, mashaAllah, their confidence is returning. That they had the loss at Uhud, the massacre at Ar-Raji', the massacre of Bi'r Ma'una, but now the second, this appointment of the Badr al-Akhir, the Muslims are there and no Quraysh came. And then there were other expeditions here, there and other way, and the Muslims were victorious in those and they got a lot of booty, walhamdulillah. And that brings us to our final discussion, bi-iznillahi ta'ala, and that is the expedition of Muraysi'. Muraysi' is the place, and it was the tribe of Banu Mustaliq that the Muslims had gone out to, the tribe of Banu Mustaliq. And so this is south of Medina al-Munawwara, between Mecca and Medina. This occurred in Shaban, the fifth year after the Hijrah. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, our mother, she was also in this expedition. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used to draw lots with regards to his wives who will join him on the journey. And it was Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, her name came up. And so she joined the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this is the year 5 after Hijrah, the month of Shaban. This tribe here, Banu Mustaliq, they had helped the Quraysh. They had the Quraysh at Uhud. They had the Quraysh at Uhud. And there was also word that they were planning to attack Medina al-Munawwara. So the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to make sure, he sent a companion, Burayda, to go and investigate. Burayda went, investigated, came back, and he confirms, Ya Rasulullah, that they are planning to attack Medina al-Munawwara. So what should we do? We will surprise them with an attack, a preemptive strike upon them. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam surprised them with this attack. About 500 of the Sahaba had joined. And something which is strange is that the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, for the first time ever, they also joined. Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, he joined, and his henchmen, they also joined. Allahu musta'an. And because they are there, we are going to find that they are going to cause problems. Allahu musta'an. Banu Mustaliq, this tribe here, they were also the tribe that that had the idol of Manat. The idol of Manat was there with the tribe of Banu Mustaliq. The Muslims were victorious, walhamdulillah, and they had a lot of booty. They had about 200 families that they had taken prisoner. And we find that Juwayriya radiallahu ta'ala anha, one of the wives of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, her name was Barra. She was captured. She was one of the prisoners of war. And so she was taken as a slave. And Thabit ibn Qais, she was part of his share. Then she came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam seeking his assistance. She's like the princess. She's like, you know, the tribal leader's daughter, seeking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's help to pay off whatever she owes the Thabit ibn Qais to earn her freedom. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made her a counter offer, which was better, that I will assist you in this here and I will pay it off. And no loan or anything, I will pay it off and will set you free and you get married to me. And she accepted that, walhamdulillah. And so she was eventually set free, and eventually the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam married her. And in fact, her father, so Juwayriya bint al-Harith, her father Harith ibn Abi Dirar, he later on came to Medina al-Munawwara, meets up with the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, becomes Muslim, and he's a Sahabi, walhamdulillah. So Juwayriya became Muslim, became the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam's wife, and she became our mother. And as for her father, he also became Muslim, walhamdulillah. In fact, when he met up with the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had, before entering Medina, stolen two camels. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw him and asked him, what about those two camels? How did you know about that? And so he eventually became Muslim, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, the expedition to Banu Mustaliq, there was one Muslim that was killed accidentally. He was killed accidentally, Hisham ibn Subaba. And one of the Muslims didn't realize and accidentally killed him. And so he had a brother, Maqis ibn Subaba, in Mecca. This guy heard about his brother's death, and so he came from Mecca acting as though he is a Muslim, meets up with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, collects the blood money, says, I've come for the blood money, my brother was killed. He collects the blood money, and then what does he do? He kills the Ansari who killed his brother by mistake. So you take the blood money, and now you extract unlawful revenge. He killed that Ansari and then he fled from Medina al-Munawwara back to Mecca. This man here, he is one of the four individuals that the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam would order that even if they are holding on to the curtain of the Kaaba, these people must be killed. And so he is one of those four that will be killed, as we will discuss bi idhnillahi ta'ala in the future. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. Then we come to hadithatul ifk, that which relates to our mother Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Subhanallah. The munafiqeen, they are in the ranks here amongst the soldiers. And that's why Suratul Munafiqoon was revealed during this period. Two major incidents, let's see. Number one, there was a quarrel between a muhajir, Jahja, this is a servant of Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, and an Ansari by the name of Sinan. At the watering hole for the water, something, maybe this one bumped into the other. And one thing led to another, and next thing, fists were raised. And so the muhajiri screams out for the muhajirin to help him. And ya lil ansar, the ansari guy calls for the ansar. And so the two groups are there, and what's happening, and people are about to start fighting. Allahu musta'an. This mentality of jahiliyyah, that as long as it is my man, irrelevant whether he's right or wrong, I will assist him and I will die for that. That type of mentality is completely wrong. And so this is what they were screaming. Oh, the Ansar, come Ansar, Ansari is come. The Muhajirin are like this and like that. And they are about to fight. Allahu musta'an. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he came and he nipped the matter in the bud. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, this is disgusting. These types of calls of jahiliyyah. Types of calls of jahiliyyah. This is disgusting. It is filthy. Do away with it. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, understand fully that the division between the Muhajirin and the Ansar, this is a Quranic sanctioned division mentioned in the Noble Quran. But when even a Quranic sanctioned division is used to cause friction and splitting amongst the Muslims, then it is wrong. It is impermissible. How much worse, how much more haram, how much more disastrous it would be when we use terms like, I am South African, and these people are Saudi, and this one's Kuwaiti, and this one's Misri, and this one's Arab, and that one's Turki, and this one's Ajam, and this one's that party, and this party. And we use it not to get to know one another, etc. Not لِتَعَارَفُ, no, but rather we use it to foment division and friction between ourselves. We use it like this, these nationalist slogans, jahili slogans, to belittle the other and to feel that I am better than the other. Allahu musta'an. If a Quranic sanctioned division, when used for wrong, is wrong, how much worse other non-Quranic sanctioned divisions would be. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. When this occurred, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, he was like angry, because he's obviously on the Ansar side, and he says, look at these people, meaning the Muhajirin, that they now on a level where they like want to fight with us, they're ready to fight with us. This is like, as he said, سَمِّنْ كَلْبَكْ يَأْكُلُكْ, you make your dog fat and then it bites you. Subhanallah. And then he says, you know, when we go back to Medina, the high ranking ones, the honorable ones, will kick out the lowly ones. He says, and you people, Ansar, you did this when you people allowed them and you gave them so much. Now look, if you didn't give them, they would have gone somewhere else. But you gave them so much. And now look at how they are ready to fight us, etc. They are ungrateful. Allahu musta'an. Zayd ibn al-Arqam, 14-year-old boy, he heard what Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul said. He sends word to his uncle, and who eventually tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam calls for the Zayd ibn Arqam, listens to him, hears his side of the story. And Umar is like, ya Rasulullah, you know, we should chop off the head of this munafiq, this Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul comes there, the head of the munafiqeen, and he begins swearing his qasam, wallah, wallah this, wallah that. I didn't say anything like that. The boy didn't hear properly. The boy doesn't know what he's saying, etc. And so the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then left the matter and left it at that. Subhanallah. The next morning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down revelation, Suratul Munafiqun, which exposes the hypocrites. يَقُولُونَ لَئِن رَجَعْنَا. The exact quote of what was said, as the boys mentioned, is mentioned in the Noble Quran. يَقُولُونَ لَئِن رَجَعْنَا إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ لَيُخْرِجَنَّ الْأَعَزُّ مِنْهَا الْأَذَلُ. That the honorable ones will expel the lowly ones when we return back to Medina al-Munawwara. وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. But honor and izzah is to the Rasul, to the believers, but the munafiqeen, they do not know. Allahumma musta'an. And so, the munafiqeen are obviously all quiet. They are all shut. Allahumma musta'an. The surah was revealed, Suratul Munafiqun. And then the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam also orders now, because there were all these issues, he orders them to march. They march for like plus minus 20 hours straight. 20 hours, just small breaks, because the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam wanted to keep them busy marching so that they don't have time to engage in all of these talk and all of these discussions. And so wherever they camped, they put their stuff down and they were fast asleep. Alhamdulillah. During this time, our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she had gone to the toilet and to the bushes, etc. And she had dropped her necklace. And so when she comes back, she finds her necklace not there. And so she goes back to look for the necklace. And in the meantime, the order was given for everyone to start moving. And so by the time she came back, subhanAllah, she finds that everybody's gone. Everybody's gone. And so she doesn't know. She just remains there. She sits there and she falls asleep. Eventually they will come back for us. They will come back for me. Aisha was young, as she mentioned, and she was light. And so on that camel, you have this like compartment for the woman. They carried this and put it on the camel and didn't realize that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was not in it. And so they continued the journey. But subhanAllah, she's left behind. And what happens is, the next morning, Safwan ibn Mu'attal, he also got left behind. Story goes that he overstepped. He was also left behind. So he sees her and he says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He didn't engage in conversation. He brought the animal close to her. She got on and then he takes her to Medina al-Munawwara. He takes her towards Medina al-Munawwara and they hasten towards Medina al-Munawwara. Either they enter into Medina al-Munawwara or the encampment where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the rest of the Sahaba are. And then, there's nothing to hide. And so they walk in public and, you know, everyone can see. But Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, the one who has exposed the munafiq, he uses this as an opportunity for revenge. Let's split the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his family. Let's split him from Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. Let's fragment the community of the Muslims. He begins this ugly rumor that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and this Safwan ibn Mu'attal, that they are engaged in some sort of affair, that they are engaged in adultery. Allah musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, our mother, innocent Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she didn't know about these rumors. When she returned, she was sick, and after some days, she asked permission from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam to go to her mother's house because she's sick. And subhanAllah, she mentions for like about 20 nights. For about 20 nights, you know, she didn't know about all of this here. And one night, she is with the mother of Mistah. And Mistah, she says a bad word about her son, Mistah. And so Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, how can you talk about Mistah like that, your son? I mean, he fought in the battle of Badr. Don't you know what my son is saying about you? No, what you talking about? And so then, Mistah spills the beans. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is shocked. I mean, is that what people are saying? And she goes to her mother and she asks her mother, is this true? Mother says, don't worry about it. You know, when some girl is pretty and she's got co-wives and people make up stories, she says, she's shocked that people are talking about this. Allahu musta'an. And now she puts two and two together, that she noticed that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not as loving with her as he generally usually was. Allahu musta'an. But he was not coarse or harsh with her. But she noticed that loving nature of his, he wasn't as loving as he usually is. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Aisha was sick. And so he's been dealing with this here for the past like half a month on his own. He had questioned Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. Ali says, Allah has not restricted matters for you. If you get married to any other woman, I mean, you know, it's all fine. But you can ask Barira, who is close to Aisha. Barira says, I don't know of any issue with her, except sometime when she's kneading the dough, she falls asleep, and maybe the birds or the goat, etc., the hen, they eat from it. You know, that's the only thing I can pick on her, subhanAllah. And Usama radiallahu ta'ala anha, he has nothing but praise for Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And so these three people who are close to the family, they are the family members of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They all had no issue with regards to Aisha. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, no revelation has come. 20 days, subhanAllah. He goes out in public and he says that I do not know of any issue, any problem with regards to my wife. There's no reason for me to be suspicious or anything like that. And this man also, he's never entered upon my family except in my presence. And who will excuse me with regards to a man who has hurt me even with regards to my family? Meaning who? Meaning Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. And so Sa'd ibn Mu'adh of the Aus, he says, if this man is from us, whoever this is, if he's from us, we will sort him out, give him to us, we will kill him. And if he's also from the Khazraj, etc., you know, give him to us, we will sort him out. And then somebody from the Khazraj says, you're only saying that because he's not from the Aus. Allahu musta'an. And now there's a small issue there between the Aus and the Khazraj. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put that to bed. And subhanAllah, he visits Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha in the house of her father and her mother. And Aisha has been crying for days on end, for days on end. He questions her and he says to her that if she's fallen into an error, if she's made a mistake, if she's committed this sin, then she should acknowledge and turn to Allah, and Allah is forgiving. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says to her father, you answer him. She says, I don't know what to answer. And she says to her mother, you answer him. And she says, I don't know what to answer. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that if I say that I have not done this here, you people won't believe me. And if I lie and say I have, then you people will believe me. And all I can say is what the father of Yusuf alayhi salam said, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ وَعَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. The patience, beautiful patience, وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ, and I seek Allah's help with regards to what has been ascribed, Allah musta'an. And she says, I knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will exonerate me of this accusation, but I didn't think Allah will send down Quran about this matter, subhanallah. But I didn't know Allah will send down revelation, maybe a dream, maybe inspire the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam somehow, but I didn't think that there will be Quran that will be revealed, which will be read until the final day, subhanallah. Allah mentions in Surah An-Nur, exonerating her of this matter. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. We find that from amongst those who spread this rumor without thinking properly was Hamana bint Jahsh, Zainab bint Jahsh's sister. She felt that, you know, well, this is my sister's co-wife, so let me spread these rumors about my sister's co-wife, to help my sister. Hamana bint Jahsh, and so she was whooped 80 lashes. Remember, Hamana bint Jahsh, she lost her husband, Mus'ab ibn Umair, in the Battle of Uhud. Subhanallah. Later on, she will get married to Talha, famous companion. So she was given 80 lashes. Then Hassan ibn Thabit, poet of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was also given 80 lashes for this false accusation. Remember, that is the Islamic penalty for false accusation. You don't have witnesses, you don't have proof, then you will be lashed 80 times. And then Mistah, he was also lashed 80 times. And he is Abu Bakr's cousin. And Abu Bakr said, I'm not going to help him financially anymore. But Allah sent down the revelation. Do you not love that Allah forgives you? Don't stop doing your good. He might have made a mistake, made an error, committed a sin, slandered, etc. But you don't stop the good that you were doing. And so Abu Bakr continued to assist him financially. Walhamdulillah. Our beautiful companion, Abu Ayyub al-Ansari. Abu Ayyub al-Ansari and his wife are seated and they're having their meal at home. And they say to one another, have you heard, you know, these rumors, etc.? And so Abu Ayyub says, yes. And the wife says, yes. Do you think it's true? He says, well, you, my wife, are better than You, my wife, Aisha is better than you, oh my wife. And so if you wouldn't do this, then definitely Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is free from this accusation. And you, oh Abu Ayyub, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is better than you. And so if you wouldn't do it, obviously the Rasul, Safwan ibn Mu'attal, he is better than you, O Abu Ayyub. And so if you wouldn't do it, obviously Safwan is free of this accusation. And they put it to rest simply like that. Walhamdulillah. Allah mentions in the Noble Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ جَاءُوا بِالْإِفْكِ عُصْبَةٌ مِّنْكُمْ لَا تَحْسَبُوهُ شَرًّا لَكُمْ بَلْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. They don't think that this matter here was evil for you people. Rather, it was good. There were many lessons in this matter. لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَكْتَسَبَ مِنَ الْإِثْمِ. Every person will get their share of their sin. وَالَّذِي تَوَلَّى كِبْرَهُ مِّنْهُمْ لَهُ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. As for the main one behind this matter, will have great punishment. Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, he was not given any 80 lashes. Rather, that criminal there will get his penalty punishment in the hereafter. Why was he not given any lashes? Because there was no proof that he was the one behind all of this. He made sure that, you know, he was not out there in the open, as opposed to these others who were spreading it in the open. He is the one who concocted the whole thing. He was the one who concocted the whole thing in his lab, but he ensured that there was nothing sticking to him. لَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُوهُ ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا. If only but the believers, when they heard this matter, that they had good opinion. Allah musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. Abu Ayyub and his wife, they were from amongst those who had the good opinion. Walhamdulillah. This incident in reality also shows us the human side of our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it also shows us that he was a true proof prophet. Had he been a fake, had he been a charlatan, had he been a false prophet, he would have come out to the people and made up some revelation. Allah sent down this revelation to me, and my wife is free of this accusation, and the penalty for the one who said such and such is death. But he never said anything like that. He was waiting for revelation plus minus 1 month until the revelation came down exonerating Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, great lessons in this matter. Great lessons in this matter, subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, there was also Rayhana. Rayhana, she was one of the prisoners that was captured at Banu Mustaliq. And later on, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam had taken her as a concubine. And she passed away in the year 10 after Hijrah. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, we've discussed the massacre of Ar-Raji', the massacre of Bi'r Ma'una, plus minus within 4 months, 146 cream of the crop companions were massacred, were killed, subhanallah. Some in Uhud, some Ar-Raji', some Bi'r Ma'una. And then Bi'r Ma'una leads on to the expulsion of Banu Nadir, as we discussed. That Ar-Riqa', where the companions covered up their feet because of the rocky terrain. And lastly, Banu Mustaliq, we had the incident of the accusation, the slander upon Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, At-Tahira, Al-Tahira radiyallahu ta'ala anha, walhamdulillah. With that bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, we come to the end of this halaqah, this majlis. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the best in this world and in the hereafter. We ask Allah to record our sitting, our learning, our studying, our listening, our making notes. We ask Allah to record all of this here in our scales of good deeds. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us keys of goodness and not keys of evil. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us a share from the character of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring the Muslims together. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for khair and barakah for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Until we meet again, this is our story. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.